Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast is going to be a fairly long one, maybe 40 episodes or so, because there are so many different kinds of anxiety and so many different causes. So there's a lot of angles that Scripture attacks this from. The one we're looking at today is the kind of anxiety that comes when you get upset because of evil people. Somebody does something evil against you, or just you see evil in general, you see someone you love be mistreated, whatever, but fretting over the wicked, that kind of anxiety, that's what we're covering today. And the solution is in Matthew 5 in the third Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. How many character qualities, good, righteous character qualities, did Jesus have when he lived on this earth? All of them. Very good. Very good. All of them. Exactly right. He had all of the fruit of the Spirit. He had every other virtue that a man could possibly have. But even though Jesus had all those godly characteristics, it wasn't very often that Jesus mentioned them specifically. You don't see a lot of statements where Jesus says, I am wise, or I am faithful, or I have a lot of self-control, or things, that sort of thing. But there is one virtue that Jesus did specifically point out about himself. In Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble. Of all the hundreds of virtues Jesus could have pointed out in his own character, the one he really wanted to state directly is his meekness. He wanted us to know that he was meek, as if it wouldn't be obvious anyway. Meekness is an especially delightful virtue in the eyes of God. He loves it. He just loves it. 1 Peter 3:4 said it is of great worth in the eyes of God, meekness. Great worth, especially in the heart of a woman. God loves all the virtues, but he doesn't say that about all the virtues. He says that especially about meekness. This is just one he especially loves. A characteristic of meekness is stillness. They're still. Gentle people are still. They're not riled up with a lot of anger. They're not in turmoil on the inside. They have a peaceful, calm, poised, quiet heart. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. The third Beatitude is a quotation from Psalm 37:11. And you don't have to study Psalm 37 very long before it becomes very clear that that whole psalm, it's a long psalm, that whole psalm is just one giant commentary on the third Beatitude. The whole psalm is about two things, being meek or gentle and inheriting the land. That's what the whole psalm talks about, those two things. So Jesus summarized that psalm in this Beatitude. So the psalm is a portrait of meekness, gentleness. So let's gaze at this portrait for a little while and see what we can learn. The first and most basic characteristic of a gentle person that we see in Psalm 37 is he doesn't burn with anger on the inside because of evil men. Look at verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. That word fret means to burn with anger. Burn with anger. Look at verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways. When they carry out their wicked schemes, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. So the gentle person is still. He's still on the inside. He doesn't have turmoil and anger raging inside his heart, rising up all the time when evil doers are off and pulling off all their shenanigans that they're doing. Like, wait a minute. What about righteous anger? There's a place for righteous anger, but we need to be very, very careful about excusing our sinful anger by calling it righteous anger. Most Christians who have an anger problem do that. So many people say, oh, I'm angry because someone sinned. It's over sin, therefore it's righteous anger. If I'm angry about sin, then that makes it righteous anger. If you think that's a definition of righteous anger, you got a real problem with Psalm 37 because the very first line says, do not burn with anger because of evil men. You try and justify anger by saying it's righteous just because it has to do with sin. I mean, almost all anger has to do with sin. That doesn't make it righteous anger. There are times when gentleness is not appropriate. There are. There are some exceptions. Jesus cleared the temple with a whip. There's nothing gentle about that. But when is that okay? When is that sort of thing okay? Is it whenever somebody sins? It's okay to get angry if somebody sins? Galatians 6:1, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, you may also be tempted. That word gently, it's our same word, meek. When someone sins, God calls us to restore the person with a soft, mild, gentle, non-threatening, quiet approach. Not with anger. Proud people are harsh with sinners. They're hard on sinners because they've got such a high view of themselves that they think they're above all these kinds of sin that some of these other folks are doing, and they can't have any kind of understanding or compassion because it just seems like, why should they fall into these kinds of sins? Those sins are easy to avoid. And they think they can never fall into those really bad ones. And so when you do, they look down their nose on you with disdain, and their restoration process, if it even exists, is anything but gentle. But God says, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you may be tempted. It's an amazing statement to me because he's talking to the spiritual. The people who are vulnerable to falling into this sin are the spiritual. So, is it okay to be harsh with someone who's fallen into sin? No, that's not the time. You say, well, then when is it? Maybe if it's repeated sin. What about the woman at the well? She'd gone through husband after husband after husband, and now she's living in fornication with a guy, repeated, ongoing, scandalous, sexual immorality. Did Jesus take a whip to her back? No. He was gentle with her. He was gentle. He was gentle with Matthew the tax collector, and with Zacchaeus the crook, and with the sinful woman in Luke 7, and with the thief on the cross, and with the disciple who publicly denied even knowing him. Jesus was gentle with sinners. He was known as a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He was never soft on sin. Boy, he thundered against sin. He talked a lot about hell. And he demanded that people repent. But whenever they did repent, he was gentle. He was gentle enough to where they wanted to be around him. They loved being with him. How about when we face opposition in ministry? Maybe that's the time when it's okay to be harsh. Somebody's opposing the ministry. It's pretty serious. Okay then? 2 Timothy 2:25. Paul's talking to Pastor Timothy there, and he says, those who oppose him, the man of God, the pastor, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct. Gently. There's our same word again. In the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth. Those who oppose the man of God, he must instruct gently, not harshly. You say, well then, maybe non-Christians. What about non-Christians rejecting the gospel? They're not accepting the truth. And they're questioning everything. What about them? Should we answer them harshly? 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness, meekness. Well, when then? Is there ever a time for sharp rebuke? Yeah, there is. In certain rare circumstances, when somebody, I think it's when somebody is causing widespread apostasy, they're leading people astray, destroying people's lives, sometimes that calls for a sharp rebuke if the gentleness isn't working. There's a group of people like that that Paul had to warn Titus about in Titus 1, and in verse 11 he says, they must be silenced, because they're ruining whole households by teaching the things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain, verse 13. Therefore, rebuke them sharply. So there's a place for that. Matthew 23, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees sharply because they were slamming the door of heaven in people's faces. That's serious. So yeah, there's some times when gentleness needs to be laid aside. But those times are rare. That's what I want to show you here. They're exceptions. The exceptions are just that. Exceptions to the rule of gentleness. Even prophets or whoever, you know, whatever you think your gift is, you're not called to be harsh You're called to be like Christ, who is gentle. And if you're ever harsh, it should be the exception. You find yourself getting angry every single week? That's not a gentle heart. Especially if the anger is over how you're being mistreated. Someone is inconsiderate to you or causes some inconvenience to you, and you're mad. And this thing makes you mad. That thing, somebody treats you in an unfair way, and now you're mad. They cut in front of you on the road, and now you're mad. Someone else, you know, they fail to show you proper love, and you're mad. And then you know it's really getting out of hand, and you start getting mad at inanimate objects, right? You're mad at stuff. You drop a bolt while you're working on your car, and you're mad at the bolt. And you hit your head on the cabinet. You're mad at the cabinet. You're mad at your car keys for being lost. You're mad at your computer. You're mad at your car. You're mad at your bed. You're mad at everything, that every circumstance doesn't fall into the ideal of what you expect your life to be like. The hardships in our lives are, you can picture them like fireballs landing on the ground. And some hearts are like dry ground covered with dry kindling. And every time one of those fireballs lands, it creates a big fire of anger. Some hearts are even worse. They're like ground covered with fireworks and explosives. But the gentle heart, the meek heart, it's like dark, moist, rich, soft soil. Fireballs just land and hit and then just go out. Numbers 12, we read about a heart that was like that. In fact, the meekest, the gentlest on the whole earth. Miriam and Aaron spoke out against Moses. They do that in verses 1 and 2 of Numbers 12. And then verse 3, after they do that, is right at the spot where you expect Moses to respond and say, "Watch your mouth!" or defend himself or react in some way. And then the situation is resolved in verse 4. So the problem in verses 1 and 2, then Moses' reaction in verse 3, and then the solution in verse 4. Well, Moses' reaction in verse 3 isn't what you expect. In place of a reaction, we don't even see any reaction. In place of that, you know what verse 3 says? It just says this. Now Moses was a very meek man, more meek than anyone else on the face of the earth. Then in verse 4, God speaks up, and he answers those two, and he sets things right, and punishes Miriam and Aaron. Moses was meek. He wasn't going to deal with this. He wasn't going to fight back. He wasn't going to try and defend himself. He wasn't going to react. So gentle people are still. They're still. They're safe. They're soft. And they're still. They're still in the sense of not having turmoil of anger inside. They're also still in another way. They're still in not getting riled up and bent out of shape. But they're also still in the sense of not having this drive to fight everybody to get ahead that you have in this world. While everyone around them is scrambling, trying to grab everything for themselves, and they're scratching and clawing to get ahead of everybody else and racing to be first in line all the time, gentle people are just quiet and calm and still. In fact, while everyone else is in a mad scramble to grab everything they can grab, the gentle person is not only still, he's not only not involved in that scramble, but he's actually doing the opposite. He's giving. He's giving. He's generous. See that in Psalm 37 a couple of times. Look at verse 21. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Then again in verse 26. They're always generous and they lend freely. That's another thing that makes them non-threatening. They're not looking for ways to take from you. You don't have to guard your stuff around them because they're not looking to take from you. They're looking to see what they can give you. While everyone else fights to get ahead, and the gentle heart remains still and quiet, instead of grabbing, they're giving. So humble people are safe, they're soft, they're still. And then fourth, they're supple. They're not hard and rigid, they're soft and supple. They can adapt to whatever's going on and just absorb the energy of the trials of life that come flying at them. Proud people are rigid and unbending, and they kind of injure everybody around them because they cannot change. And so you just walk past them and you catch a corner of the edge of one of their opinions and you get a deep gash in your soul because nothing gives. There's no give at all. They're slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to become angry. But God calls for the exact opposite of that, right? In James 1, my dear brothers, verse 19, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So hopefully that little sketch helps you begin to see why this virtue is so beautiful to God. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Don't you want this? Don't you want to be this way? Very particular reason why the meek are meek. They're meek and they're gentle because of what happens in their heart instead of anger. It's not just that they don't get angry. It's that some different thing happens instead of anger, and that's what makes them meek. We get introduced to that in Psalm 37:7. This says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not burn with anger when men succeed in their ways." So if you're the quiet type just because you keep everything bottled up inside, that's not gentleness. Even if you have no anger, you know, you might have no anger at all. But maybe it's just because you love evil and so you're entertained by it, and that's why you don't have any anger. I mean, that by itself doesn't mean anything. That's not gentleness. Gentleness is when you hate evil, but your heart remains calm because you know how to be still before the Lord and wait for Him to make things right. There's not turmoil and boiling in your heart because of your relationship with God, because of the type of interactions you have with God. You say, well, what kind of interactions? What does that look like? What sort of relationship with God keeps the heart calm like that? Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Look at verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him. It's a relationship in which He makes promises and you trust in them. And that's what keeps the heart calm and soft and supple and gentle and safe. Because you're trusting in these promises. What are the things that wicked people have done that get you in turmoil on the inside, that keep you up at night, that agitate you? Do you trust God to make those things right? Do you trust God to deal with those wicked people? Do you trust Him to deal with them in a better way than you could ever deal with them? When you do, you can have peace in your heart, even when the wicked are carrying out their folly. In tomorrow's podcast, we'll find out how to do that. For today, just make an assessment of your heart. How meek are you? Are there some areas where you're lacking meekness, where you're threatening rather than being gentle? Spend some time talking to God about that. And it might be a good idea to talk to some of your loved ones, some family, some people who are around you, who see you, and ask, are there some areas where I lack gentleness? And if they give you an honest answer, be gentle in the way you respond.
Thank you for listening. We pray these principles from the Word of God are helping you find the peace of God as you draw nearer to the God of peace. Maybe there's someone in your network who would enjoy these podcasts. You never know how posting a link on Facebook might change someone's day or their whole life. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and remember that we're a crowd-funded ministry, so every gift helps. Just go to treasuringgod.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.